Okay, let's continue with the remaining five polarities of the 10 most common polarities. I had a chief marketing officer, and this guy was a wizard. And he kept coming up with these incredibly brilliant ideas and charging ahead with so much creativity and so much insight. And the ideas he was coming up with were having a huge impact. All kinds of results were coming in, and he was really excited about it. Now, at the same time, the head of the accounting department was noticing that every time he would submit an expense, it was not categorized right. It was certainly not in budget, and she kept scheduling meetings with him to discuss, hey, you keep running over budget here, you're not categorizing it right in this way. And the CMO was getting increasingly frustrated. Why are you bogging me down? Have you not seen these results? Do you not see what we're getting, this incredible creativity and new ideas? And the accounting department was frustrated, and they kept trying to get him to do what they needed, and he wouldn't. And there was this incredible conflict. And what you see here is a common polarity that you'll see in any organization between compliance and creativity. Now, compliance here is defined as, a focus on correct action in alignment with standards. And creativity is a focus on curiosity, coloring outside lines, and openness. And so here you have these two things. Now, both are necessary, of course. Now, if you're really good with compliance, what you end up with is this. You get consistency and quality, and there's nothing quite like having a nice, consistent product or thing delivered, and you get really high quality very often. When you've got a nice, compliant process and people complying with that process, that's what you get. On the downside, if you're too fixated on compliance, what you start to lose is you actually become lifeless and rigid, and this sort of rigidity is the inability to move or bend or weave, and the lifelessness is you start to lose energy. Humans by nature are creative in every form and every fashion, and so when things become overly focused on compliance, you lose that creativity. On the high side of being creative, if you do that really well, of course, what you get are things like fresh thinking, new solutions. You get actual new ideas, new ways of responding to what's going on in the market, because there's this real openness and awareness of all the things that are possible. When you get too creative and you lose that balance, what you end up with is a loss of control, and you become quite unproductive. And so loss of control is the system of the organization might not be able to contain or direct or guide this unbridled creative energy. And so that's what you get with that. Now let's move on to the next one. This one is related, but a little bit distinct. So I had a chief operating officer, and he was especially gifted at digging down into ways of saving money. And so what he was really good at was assessing a situation and identifying all the various places that he could push and change and adjust and move the numbers so that he got more and more affordable over time. And every new project they would undertake, he would invest himself in the exact same way and tweak all the dials just right and try to get it all dialed in. Now, in the process, what he was doing was he was frustrating the department that had to execute on all his new ideas and exactly how to deliver this new, fresh idea. And they kept pushing back, going, we cannot keep reinventing the wheel every time you come up with a new idea for how to execute or save a little bit more money or economize. And so this was a leader in his team that was wrestling through the polarity of standardizing and innovating. And this is a really big common polarity. So definitions. To standardize is to create repeatable, predictable, uniform process. And innovate is to challenge assumptions, status quo, and boundaries. And so you need both. So here's what happens when you're working really well and doing the standardized part. When you standardize something in just the right way, here's what you gain. You get efficiency and scalability. Things start moving and humming really well, and you can just add as many components as you need to, because once it's a standardized model, you can scale it endlessly. And so that's what you gain from it. Now, if you're overly standardized, what you start to lose is you get immune to change and people are uninspired. Here's what I mean by that. If you're standardized everything so perfectly and there's an evolution required, that if it doesn't fit the standard, it will prevent the kind of change and evolution required. And it's also quite uninspired. When everything's so standardized, people get pretty bored after a while. There's this desire to sort of keep moving, keep innovating. And so that's why the innovation is so critical. And when you start innovating and you do that really well, here's what you gain. You get differentiation and motivation. What that means is you are different from your competition. You're constantly creating new and fresh ways of seeing things, and that creates differentiation. It's also motivating. Most people, even those that are the most standardized, very often get highly engaged by, let's come up with a new way of doing this that might be a little bit better. Now, let's say you've gotten over innovative, which you start to lose, of course. The downside is lack of clarity. Nobody really quite knows what it is we're doing because you're constantly innovating and changing it. So I'm unclear about where we're headed and why. The other thing that you start to lose is wasted hours. You're literally reinventing the wheel all the time when you're innovating. And so you want to be mindful of the fact that a fatigue can set in. And that's why that balance is so important between standardization and innovation. Let's move to the next one. I had a leader. She was an incredibly effective leader, but she was also creating all kinds of anxiety on her team because one of the things she kept doing over and over again was she shared openly, honestly, everything that was going on in her because she felt transparency and authenticity are some of the best marks of a leader. And she's got a point. People love the fact that they had access to her and they knew exactly what she was thinking, exactly what she was feeling. But what that also meant is she would be talking about her feelings about her boss and how he didn't understand this and her coworkers and they weren't getting it and they needed help with this. And if they just listened to her, they might get that. Or talk about some of their other team members. You know, this team member, I can't believe it. They're lazy. They're not showing up in the way I want. And what that created was this weird quality of, yeah, I feel like I'm on the inside with you because you're sharing everything, but I wonder what you're sharing about me with others. And so they began creating a lack of trust rather than engagement and trust. And so transparency and boundaries is this polarity. And every great leader has to manage the distinction between boundaries and transparency. So boundaries in this case are discretion in sharing information, and it limits access to that information. Transparency is open communication, free flow information, and access to that information. What happens though is, you know, when she started to learn to correct, she started to correct too much. But when she corrected for a little while, what she got was the high side of getting those boundaries in place. And that's this. It provides protection and it creates focus. Here's what I mean. First of all, people felt more protected because they weren't having their information shared needlessly. And that was a really important part of building trust. Now, by providing focus, what I mean is, she stopped trying to share everything with everybody all the time in the marketplace, not just personalities, but like all the various data that was being managed. She would only share the data that was important for them to know to act on. And that allowed them to focus rather than being distracted by all the other things they had to think about. Now, with too many boundaries and too rigid boundaries, what you get is it raises suspicion and it creates a disconnect. So when you're really not able to share information and you won't give any information, people start getting suspicious. So this happens a lot with, you know, pay, who's getting paid what and what the bonus structures are and how bonuses are assigned and what is all that stuff. And I'm suspicious. I'm wondering if maybe you guys are up to no good because you're not sharing this information. It also creates that disconnect, which is I don't think I have access anymore. And that access can reduce motivation. So that's a big one. Now, when you have really good transparency, the high side is you get it inspires trust and it creates shared ownership. It increases that. And so the trust again is that when it's dialed in just right, it feels like, you know what, you're giving me information. You're trusting me with it and I trust you all the more now. And I also feel I'm a part of it now. I feel an ownership in what you're struggling with. So if you're sharing, look, we're up against the wall on some issues and our finances aren't looking so good and we've got some things coming up that we're gonna have to make some hard decisions and we wanted you to be involved in that because we want you guys to be adults and to join with us on the struggle, that creates ownership of we gotta solve this problem versus if a leader's going, everything's fine, but inside he knows there's things that are not fine and we're gonna have to do layoffs soon and we don't wanna let anybody know until the last second, and that creates a lack of ownership. Now, if you're too transparent, what you end up with is information without context. That creates that. What that means is simply that there's so much information coming at people that they don't know how to sift and sort it. There's too much data and there's not the context they need to interpret the data. So that's one problem that can happen. Another issue is you can lose the proprietary edge that you might have. So if you're in a competitive business, for example, and you're sharing all your information all the time, you can lose proprietary edge and people can just copy what you're doing, that secret sauce. Now, if you're not in a competitive environment and you're overly transparent, it can actually create create weird infighting because people start to have access to information and they shouldn't have that access because they start noticing other people's salary information. They get jealous and envious. And so that's an example. So that's the polarity between boundaries and transparency. Let's go to the next one. One of my clients was a chief investment officer, and he was masterfully good at understanding exactly how to anticipate what was going to happen. Now, because of that, he lived from his intuition, his gut, and he had immediate awareness of how to act, when, where, and why. And so he was always frustrated in meetings when people would want to spend time deliberating on exactly how they should set up a strategy and think through what to do next. And he was always like, we already know this. I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'm right. I'm telling you, we don't need even to discuss it. I already got the answer. And very often he was right. Sometimes he wasn't right. But for him, it was like, if most of the time I'm right, we're just saving time. So let's just go, go, go. And others would be like, oh my gosh, can you just hold on a second? Because I don't know that we've really thought through everything we need to think through and anticipated all the consequences. This is the perfect example of the polarity between planning and acting, or strategy and execution. And so the definition here is a plan is to careful deliberation and strategic reflection, and act is quick execution based on instinct or immediate need. And so when you do the planning just right, what you gain is you see the big picture, and it includes more options and people. So as you're rolling out strategic thinking, you can actually think through the many options, many of their consequences. You can include more people in the process. Their diverse views and opinions are going to make that strategy more robust, more full-orbed. Now, if you're overly planning, what happens is being bogged down and a lack of momentum. And that just means that you sort of get stagnated as you're thinking and reflecting and deliberating and going in circles, and you start to refine and refine and refine, and you're getting a law of diminishing returns. And that lack of momentum slows everybody way down. So that's what you gain. Now, if you're really good at acting and moving quickly, then what you're going to get is, you know, responsiveness and fast impact. So that just means you're going to immediately know what's happening. You're going to respond to the sensing changing conditions on the road, and you're going to get impact immediately. Now, if you're overly focused on that, what you end up with is a lack of buy-in from others and unintended consequences. So when you don't have the time, slow down long enough to actually think through what are the things that you got to deal with, you can have all kinds of consequences that you just didn't anticipate. Plus, you're moving so quickly that people just have a hard time getting on board with what you're doing. So that's the polarity between planning and acting. The final polarity of the 10 most common is next. I had a CEO and a COO who were both working really hard in their job, and the CEO was incredibly brilliant at inspiring his people. This guy was so connected to his own story and his own sense of purpose and the stories of others that when he shared and communicated anything, it was done with such passion and vigor that everybody felt like they always talked about, yeah, we're drinking the Kool-Aid again, we're drinking the Kool-Aid again, the Jim Jones reference. Like, it was so exciting and inspired. And often he would just marshal everybody to this vision, and through sheer force of will, people would follow. Now, the problem was that as they would follow, they would all get kind of clumbered, fall all over each other, in part because there was just no system in place to manage or figure out how to get there. And there was also, oftentimes he would inspire such a vision that there was actually no basis in reality. There was no market there that was going to do what he wanted, and often it would fail. Now, for him, the failure was no big deal. He would just reframe it as it was a beautiful gift he had. However, the missed opportunity was he didn't seem to understand that if you just did a little bit of data analysis, you could realize that, you know, let's force all that energy into the right spot. And here you had the COO trying to convince the CEO, look, the data says, if you look at the analysis. And so here you have the polarity between reason and passion. So reason is the side of us that is focused on data, analytics, thinking, and rationality. Passion is focused on inspiration, stories, energy, and emotion. And so when you do the rational reason side of the polarity really well, what you end up with is objective clarity. It takes out all the egos, all the opinions, and you just get a really clear perspective on exactly where you should go. And it's objective, and so it's easily debated and measured. Now, if you're overly fixated on the reason and rationality, what ends up happening is two things. One, not everything can be measured, and it's a little bit inhumane. And so that means that, look, life does not surrender its mysteries to a yardstick. It doesn't. And so there's tons of things you can't measure objectively. And that means you're left with making decisions using other resources, which we've already talked about in this module. Earlier, we talked about database decisions and crystal ball decisions. So, and when you're only focused on the data side, you end up with this fairly inhumane approach to things. It's just people reduced to numbers, and that is not accurate. Now, if you're on the passion side and you activate it really well, here's what you get. You get connected. People are connected and they feel alive. This is really, really powerful stuff. People are feeling like they want to go to work for you and they want to take the hill, and they are deeply inspired by it. Now, if you're overly focused on the passion side of the equation, here are some things that can happen. You get a lot of ego drama and some inefficiency. Ego drama is, you know, it's who can tell a better story and who's more liked and who's got a better way of arguing. And sometimes there's manipulation that can go on in here because you're tugging on heartstrings. And so that's some of the stuff that can be the downside of that polarity. So that's passion and reason, and it's a powerful one. Now, what I want to do now is I want to close out all of these polarities by describing just a brief technique to use these. So I've just gone through all 10. Now you can use all 10 in your organization and do a brief assessment. And here's how I would like you to assess.